apostolic revelation, imitation, and apostolic. So we are, we've been on this chapter for a while, talks between the Lord and Ramananda Roy. So if you remember, the first verse here, Mahaprabhu is saying, that for which I have come to your residence has now become an object of truth in my knowledge. So the Lord had requested Ramananda Roy when he met him, that please recite a verse from the revealed scriptures which concerns the ultimate goal of life. That was his request. And Ramananda Roy, as we have been hearing all along, he started out with Varnashram Dharma, explaining Varnashram Dharma, and Mahaprabhu said, speak something higher. Then he went on to Karma Arpana, that means dedicating all our work to the service of the Lord. And then he said, kept on asking him, go higher and higher. Then he talked about Jnana Mishra Bhakti, and finally he talked about spontaneous loving service, and in that he was talking about the spontaneous devotion or the loving affairs of the residents of Vrindavan, and finally he talked about the gopis, love for Krishna, and then Srimati Radharani. So now Mahaprabhu is saying, okay, so now it has become, whatever I had come to seek from you has now become an object of truth in my knowledge, but he's still saying there is something more. Please tell me more, because my mind is desiring to have it. And Mahaprabhu is actually saying, nobody else can actually tell me this except you. And Ramananda Roy, who's actually, as we understand, he's actually Lalita. He's Lalita in Krishna's pastimes. And also, it's some people say he was Arjuna. Arjuna also, and maybe he was another gopi, Arjuna gopi. So there is different, but definitely everyone is of the conclusion that he was definitely a very close associate of Krishna. And in his humility, he's saying, I do not know anything about this. I simply vibrate the sound you make me speak. And I'm simply repeating like a parrot. So when I read this part, I was immediately thinking of Srila Prabhupada, and how he always told us, he was just repeating what his spiritual master told him, or what he has heard from the previous acharyas. So if we go further in this chapter, just a few verses down, this is verse 132, I'll just mention it, I'll not speak any further on that verse, but Ramananda Roy is still pleading with Lord Chaitanya. This is verse 132, and he says, I'm just a dancing puppet, and you pull the strings. Whichever way you make me dance, I will dance. So reminds us of the prayer of Srila Prabhupada, which he wrote on the Jaladuta while he was in the Boston Harbor. And he had just arrived in America, and he's praying to the Lord, and he's writing these beautiful prayers, which he didn't really reveal to any of his disciples for a long time. Actually, it was just by accident, from what I read, was that they were just discovered in his diary, and then it was translated. And Prabhupada was saying in great humility, how will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? And I'm very unfortunate, I'm very unqualified, and most fallen. And he's saying, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it's up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. And he says, O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for your understanding, for their understanding. And then further on, he says, kind of resonating what Ramananda Rai is saying, O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. And actually, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also, when he started writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he also says something similar, and this is in the Adi Leela. So there are two verses, very, very, very similar. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's saying this in Adi Leela chapter 8, verse 78 and 79. It says, E grantha lekhaya more madana mohan amara likhana yena sukhera pathan. So Kaviraj Goswami had been asked to write on the past tense of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was saying, I'm so unqualified, I cannot write. And all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan were requesting him to do that. So he said, okay, I'll get permission from Madan Mohan. So he goes to the Madan Mohan temple, and when he entered in front and he was praying to Madan Mohan, a garland fell off from Madan Mohan's, and the pujari immediately came and offered it to Kaviraj Goswami, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, and he saw this as a sign that Madan Mohan is giving him his blessings to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here in this verse, he's saying, actually Chaitanya Charitamrita is not my writing, but the dictation of Sri Madan Mohan. My writing is like the repetition of a parrot. So it's actually very wise to just follow in the footsteps of our previous acharyas and become a parrot. However, not to become a parrot like Prabhupada mentions very often. A parrot, you can teach him the Maha Mantra, but when the cat comes, so he will be saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. But when the cat comes, he'll just grab its neck and he will say cow, cow, cow. He will not remember the Maha Mantra. So we want to have realizations. We want to have realization, not just vibrating without any realization. However, it is better to be it's actually good to be a very faithful parrot. So like all these acharyas are telling us that I'm just repeating, I want to keep on repeating. And Prabhupada says in the purport to this verse, when it says, my writing is like the repetition of a parrot, Prabhupada says, this should be the attitude of all devotees. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead recognizes a devotee, he gives him intelligence and dictates how he may go back home to Godhead. And this is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satata yukta nam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. So to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So we hear, we repeat like a parrot, and we become puppets in the hands of the strings which are held by our guru, the strings which are held by the guru parampara, ultimately by Krishna. And actually the verse which I was quoting for earlier, which Ramananda Rai was saying, he was saying, Ami Nata Tumi Sutra Dhara. Nata is Bengali or even Hindi for a puppet. Aminata. Tumi sutra dhara. Sutra is the strings and you are pulling the strings. So whichever way you make me dance, I will dance. And further, Krishnaraj Kaviraj Goswami is saying in the next verse, 879, as a wooden doll is made to dance by a magician, I write as Madan Gopal orders me to do so. And Prabhupada again says in the purport, this is the position of a pure devotee. One should not take any responsibility on his own, but should be a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who will then give him dictation as the Cheti Guru or the spiritual master within. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased to guide a devotee from within and without. From within, he guides him as a super soul, and from without, he guides him as a spiritual master. And I came upon this quote from teachings of Lord Kapila Dev, and Srila Prabhupada is saying in the text 12 purport, that when a devotee with all his heart and soul, he serves Krishna, then he says Krishna smiles. And he says, if you can get Krishna to smile even once upon you, just once, your life's goal is fulfilled. So Srila Prabhupada is, in all of his writings, in his purports, he's stressing again and again that we just become a very faithful transparent via media of what we are hearing. And there is a mention of by Hiranyakashipu, actually, he's talking to Prahlad Maharaj, and he's saying that, my dear son, association is very important, and it acts just like a crystal stone, and it will reflect anything that is put into it. So, if we associate with devotees, if we associate with Bhagavatam, the devotee Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat, then our hearts will become crystal clear and that will be reflected. So we want to reflect, we want to become that perfect reflections of all the instructions that we are hearing, of all of that which we are reading, and when we are chanting, as Mother Mukhi was reading, when we are singing, the kirtan is non-different than the japa, and when we are chanting, and if we keep that association of the holy name, association of the devotees, then we will become those reflectors, and we will be seen by others, by the devotees in around us, and by people outside. Because we hear so often, people will say, "Wow, the devotees of Krishna are so they're so radiant," and the radiance comes because we are more and more as we are surrendering, the radiance will appear. And I remember my spiritual master once saying that, as you serve Krishna, Krishna makes the beauty from within, from your within, he makes it reflect. So our devotion is reflected in our faces, it's reflected in our actions, and we can actually become very beautiful by that decoration of being a transparent reflector of what we are hearing. So our hearing has to be very, because hearing is the thing which actually is the first thing we do, and is the last thing which goes when we are, even when we can't think, when we are the people who are on their deathbeds. It's said that hearing is so potent, it can keep on affecting our consciousness. So let's hear more and more. And Srila Prabhupada, he would say that, I am nothing but, I'm not made of anything but the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is actually, he is called a Sima Guru, or Lion Guru. And Srila Prabhupada mentions it, that when he first, not when we first met him, but when he met him in Vrindavan, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was doing a parikrama, a very big parikrama which was unheard of in Vrindavan. Thousands of devotees were going from place to place of the pastimes of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada somehow made it in his schedule to go, and he really wanted to see Bhaktisiddhanta. So he met him, or he caught up with him in Kosi, and there he attended a class which went on for hours. Most of the devotees had left to go to see a temple, or to go have darshan at a temple of Sheshashayi. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting there and hearing, and what he comments in the Leelamrita, there is a comment by about that pastime, that he said, I could see, or Bhaktisiddhanta was stressing again and again, that I am just repeating what I've heard from my guru. And so he, on the authority of scriptures, he was actually using all of the opulence which he was receiving from his preaching. He was receiving a lot of money, which was unheard of in those days, that a sannyasi was accepting the money. But what was he doing with the money? He made big palatial temples. He was printing books. He was printing magazines in many different languages. So he was actually practicing Yukta Vairagya, but all on the authority of the scriptures. So he was actually just listening and acting like a parrot who is repeating exactly as he learned. Or like Shukadev Goswami, he was actually, it's said that Shukadev Goswami was actually a liberated person when he was born from the womb of his mother. However, when he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's when he became a devotee, or that's when his knowledge or his life became complete. And then when he is speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. As we all know, that Bhagavatam is called the mature fruit of spiritual knowledge. But when it is spoken by Shuka or the parrot, so when the parrot touches that ripe fruit, like a ripe mango fruit, when it is touched, and it's very common knowledge in India, that when we see a parrot on a tree, especially a mango tree, and we see that he's pecking, and we say, oh, that fruit will be very sweet. So it is, it's actually a fact. It's a fact of nature that by the parrot pecking on a fruit, it will become very, much more sweeter, much more delicious, much more juicy. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport of canto, of the verse in Canto 1, the third verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, Shukdev Goswami is compared to the parrot, not for his ability to recite the Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from his learned father, but for his ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. And that's what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was so expert in. He did a mass distribution of the holy name, and he actually started this Sankirtan movement and made it a worldwide movement, which Srila Prabhupada took up as his life and soul, and he kept it in his heart. When Bhaktisiddhanta instructed him, please go and preach this to the English-speaking people. So I thought I'll read a little bit from about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati from his biography. He chanted his pranam mantra today when we were doing the Pushpanjali. So in the third and fourth mantra, which is Madhriya Ujwala Premadhyaya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate, it actually says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya's mercy, who delivered devotional service which is enriched with the love of Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami. Exactly in line. So he did not want to detract at all from Rupa and Raghunath's teachings. And then the next last pranam mantra, Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dina Tarine Rupanuga Virudhappa Siddhanta Dhanta Harine. He says, you do not tolerate any statement which is against the teaching of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. And that's why, because he did not tolerate, that's why he was called the Simha Guru. And actually, he was, as a very young boy, Bhaktisiddhanta was very learned, and he was very, I think at the age of 7, that he was reciting the verses of the Bhagavatam. And he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita at that young age. And he went to school for some time, and he was studying mathematics and astrology at a very young age. And his tutors there gave him the title of Siddhanta Saraswati, because he was so brilliant, and because of his astounding scholarship, as it says here. So at a very young age, he was exhibiting the symptoms. And he was actually, he would go to school and he would not really pay any attention. He would just want to study the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the books of the previous acharyas. But when he would go and give, when he would be asked any question, he would repeat what was being said. He would be able to explain whatever was being said, but he was not very much interested. And actually it said that further, when he took some exam and he was able to go to the Sanskrit college, which was very very well-known college, and he got admission to it, and he decided, no, I will not go to this college because this will make me, it will make me vulnerable to people who would say, oh, he's so educated, okay, he should get married, he should now have a family. He said, so that people may think he is not very educated, he decided not to go to the college, and he just continued studying on his own. So he just, then he said, I'll just study, I'll do my bhajan, I'll do my study myself, so people don't push him for doing worldly activities. There is this, I wanted to just read part of this Bhaktisiddhanta's, he has written this when, in relation to when he saw or met his Guru Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. he says, in his great humility, he says, I've been busy within this material world trying to bring sense gratification within the grasp of my hand. I've often thought that by obtaining the objects of sense gratification, all my shortcomings will be fulfilled. I often attained different facets that were indeed very rare, but my own personal shortcomings were never mitigated. In this material world, I have had the association of very high-class aristocratic persons. However, seeing their various deficiencies, I could not offer them praise. The most merciful Supreme Lord, Sri Gaurasundar, seeing me in such a lamentable condition, gave permission to his two dearmost devotees, Bhaktivinod Thakur and Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, to grant their blessings to me. Because I was always intoxicated with a worldly false ego, wanting again and again self-appraisal, I deprived myself of my own real benefits. But because of the influence of my previous birth activities in devotional service, I came into the association of Bhaktivinod Thakur, who was the form of my spiritual well-wisher. My spiritual master would go and visit Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur and many times would reside with him. Out of his compassion for other living entities, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur pointed out my spiritual master. Upon seeing him, the extent of my worldly false ego diminished. I knew that all the other living entities who have taken the human form of life were also fallen and low like myself, but by gradually observing the spiritual character of my master, I realized that only a Vaishnava could reside in this material world and be of exemplary character. So, as we see that he is taking a very humble position and saying that he was engaged in sense gratification, and we know from his life that he was actually, this is his humility, and we can learn from it that when we see our spiritual master, when we come in association, or when we are put in touch with our spiritual and master and our guru parampara, that it is a way to diminish our interest in material world more and more. And there's so much about Bhakti Siddhanta. Let me see. Many of you know this pastime of Bhakti Siddhanta. When he was at the age of 31, he began his great vow of that he will follow the example of Namacharya Haridas Thakur, and he said he will chant 192 rounds every day. 192 rounds every day. So he said at the rate of 300,000 names daily, it will take him 9 years to complete 1 billion names. So that was his vow, that he would chant 1 billion names before he went and started preaching, like, you know, all over the country. So he went near the yoga pit in Mayapur. He made a hut, or he had a hut, and he just started chanting, and he was observing very, very strict vows. He would eat only once a day, and actually, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he said, by seeing this renunciation of, he said when he saw Bhakti Siddhanta observing this vow of chanting 192 rounds every day, he said, I observed the renunciation of Sri Rupa Raghunath in my Prabhu. Gaurakishore Das Babaji would actually call his disciple Prabhu. That I see the renunciation of Rupa Raghunath in manifest in my Prabhu. And Srila Prabhupada says about this time that from childhood he was a strict brahmachari, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. And he underwent very severe penances for starting this movement, worldwide movement. That was his mission. And he also says, when my Guru Maharaj was present, even big scholars were afraid to talk, even with his beginning students. My Guru Maharaj was called the living encyclopedia. He could talk with anyone on any subject. He was so learned and no compromise. So-called saints, avatars, yogis, everyone who was false was an enemy to my Guru Maharaj. He never compromised. Some godbrothers complained that this preaching was a chopping technique and it would not be successful, but those who criticized him fell down. And that's actually very significant for our understanding, that we never take that road of criticizing our guru, criticizing our param guru, criticizing the parampara, because that is actually that's an offense to the holy name, and that will eventually lead to our fall down in the sense that our taste for hearing and chanting will diminish, and as that taste diminishes, slowly we go down into the place when we will not even want to hear and chant. So very important that we never criticize our gurus, our guru parampara, and Vaishnava paradis, criticizing the Vaishnavas as well. And about his sannyas, when he took sannyas, it is a whole chapter is dedicated to his taking sannyas. But one thing which I wanted to mention was that he took, in those days, the Vaishnavas would actually take Babaji, would take the Babaji Vesha or the Paramhamsa Vesha. But he took sannyas because sannyasis were considered in the hierarchy, sannyasis were lower than Babaji when we take Babaji sannyas. So he wanted to show by this action that he was actually taking a humble position below his two gurus, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who had both accepted the Paramhamsa Veshas. At that time, many sense gratifiers and bogus sahajiyas were wearing Babaji dress, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted to exhibit by personal example just how exalted such personalities should be if they want to wear the same dress as Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, and other exalted eternal associates of the Lord. So with the view to exhibit the activities of a Goshtya Nandi, which means a preacher, he accepted the dress of a sannyasi. So it was very, very, very thoughtful. And even that was not very much prevalent in those days when he took the sannyas. And he actually took sannyas by himself. He said his spiritual master came in a dream and instructed him that he should take sannyas. In his final days, he actually went to Puri, and that's where he was born. He went to Puri, and he was preaching. He's preaching undaunted. He was giving lectures hours and hours long. And there is this lecture where he was speaking 8 days before he left, and he was asking his disciples, he was asking the devotees who were present, he was saying, "With great enthusiasm, preach the words of Sri Rupa Raghunath to everyone. Our ultimately desirable object is to become the dust at the lotus feet of the followers of Sri Rupa." Become the dust at the lotus feet of the followers of Sri Rupa. "All of you remain united in allegiance to Ashraya Vigraha, spiritual master, in order to satisfy the senses of this transcendental supreme. Everyone with the sole view of worshipping Hari will carry on life in this material temporary existence in any way possible. Do not give the worship of Hari even amidst hundreds of dangers, hundreds of insults, or hundreds of persecutions." So when we go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, the books of which are repeating what is coming down from Krishna, we do experience insult, we experience apathy, but we do not want to get discouraged. And Prabhupada would tell us, do not get discouraged. And he would say, even if one person hears, like he would be speaking and there was hardly anybody in the room, and he would say, there are so many creatures who are hearing. There are so many creatures which you can't even see. So Bhaktisiddhanta is trying to keep on inspiring his disciples, keep on inspiring the people who are around him, that please do not give up and keep on maintaining the humble attitude. And his disappearance on the morning, so his actual day of disappearance is January 1st, 1937. So the morning, the day before, on the 31st of December, this is what was happening. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur requested Sridhar Maharaj to sing Sri Rupa Manjari by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. And he asked Naveen Krishna Vidyalankar to sing the Sishtashika. In the forenoon, he requested the editor of the Gaudiya magazine to see to it that the Vaishnava Manjusha would be compiled and published. This was the Vaishnava vocabulary. In his last days, he had specifically requested that his disciples form a GBC of 10 or 12 devotees to manage the society's affairs. Two of his last statements were, love and rapture both should have the same end in view. Narottam Das Thakur lived on the principle of Rupa Raghunath, it is good to follow that path. And to all he announced, please accept my blessings to you all, present and absent. Please bear in mind, our sole duty and religion is to spread and propagate service to the Lord and his devotees. Thus the great Acharya, the Simha Guru, the uncompromising sadhu, the Vaikuntha man, as Srila Prabhupada once described him, the tireless preacher of the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, left this material world uttering the name of Krishna at about 5:30 a.m. on Thursday, January 1st, 1937, and entered the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, having firmly established the foundation of a spiritual movement which would be carried around the world by his pure servant, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Hari Bol. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you have any questions or comments, please say. Yes, Linda.
Said that he had association with aristocratic people, but he, and then I didn't understand what you read right after that.
He was so learned, he would have audience with many, he would have discussions, he was defeating like practically everyone, even when he was a young boy and a young man, people would come and challenge. There's a very famous it was a sabha or a meeting which was held about the Brahmana or a Vaishnava. And this was a meeting, I think it was 1911, that this meeting was held. And many, many very, very foremost scholars of the time had come to this gathering. And they were trying to say how Brahmanas are more, they are very elevated, Brahmanas are elevated. And Bhaktisiddhanta, when he came to speak, he just defeated them. And he actually established that Vaishnavas were more elevated in their position, what the position of the Vaishnavas were. And also, for 10 years, he was actually a tutor for the king of Manipur, for the king of Manipur's children. So as he was living in the royal palace, or he was associating with, so he had many royalty or personalities he was interacting with. And because, you know, Manipur is a very, it's a Vaishnava state, so the king was very much humble, and he said, please teach my children. So he taught one set of kids, and then that king passed away. And then the next king asked him to write something about that royal lineage of that line. So yes, in that way he was very much interacting with and he was actually invited to become a lecturer in some famous college in Calcutta as well, which he declined because of his astute, because of his knowledge and his scholarliness. He was really very well invited. He would go, but all he was wanting to do is establish Vaishnavism, establish the supremacy of the worship of Krishna. That was the supreme, that was his goal. Yes, thank you, Mother. Anyone else? Right. Yes, Sharanga Thakur Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I was listening to a seminar by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, and I heard an interesting thing that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj made a significant change, where his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his later years, practiced the Lila Smarnam, or the Raganuga path. But Bhakti Siddhanta decided to emphasize kirtan, preaching and book distribution rather than the Smarnam. And of course, our Prabhupada followed suit saying that the book distribution and preaching was in the mood of the gopis and is an alternative way to achieve that most confidential service. And I thought that was interesting.
Yes. And like Srila Prabhupada was also saying, what Mother Mukhya was reading, kirtan is not different than book distribution, or book distribution is not different than kirtan. So this is in the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta, who used to call it the book distribution? Brihat Mridanga. The Brihat Mridanga, because when you play the Mridanga, you can hear it for a little far away, but when you distribute these books, that Mridanga will be heard all over the world. Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj ki jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Hare Krishna.